Tonight is a culmination of a mutual effort of parents, family, extended family, friends, teachers, the school board, the administration, and this church and the broader community of faith. Parents, each day, I look up, I'm scared, I look down, I'm frightened. I'm just going to look at these two beautiful girls and just go with that. But parents, each day, especially with Andrew's parents, you prepared lunches, you kissed boo-boos, you encouraged your student. In case of Andrew, you bought a lot of hair product. You made sure homework was done. You rushed kids to school. You went to countless practices and made sacrifices. You made sure the school bill was paid. You invested thousands of dollars to just get your child to this place. Thank you. Thank you for valuing Christian education. Thank you, church, for creating a context to educate children in this community. Christian education is a vital part of our culture. Though minimized by many, it's vital. My mother, my sister who is here tonight, my niece, my other sister, my sister-in-law, my brothers have been Christian school teachers. It's a vital part of our family. And it's important for every child to have a Christian worldview presented to them. And this church found it important to do so. And there's nothing more valuable than the training of young people and creating this culture of servant leadership where academics are taught and ministry is modeled and encouraged to be duplicated. What I love about Christian education is that it's real ministry. Our students aren't perfect. Yeah, exactly. Neither are their teachers or leaders. But we're all a work of grace. I looked at Amara and Clara as they came down and quite serious-minded. And I think you're Clara, right? And Clara's sitting there giving me the evil eye. And I watched as I realized the distance between here and here. It's amazing. Amara and Clara will go to school 2,340 days of their lives. You've already done it. You spent, without detentions or anything else, you spent 1.1 million minutes in school. You cut class one day, do the math. And I look at them, and I look at you, and I look at each family, and I realize the journey's beginning. My son is 31. So I realize the shortness of this journey to there. And I realize this is not your only one who will graduate, right? These others are here belong to you, or they belong to... Yeah, he's the... Just a precious darling. If it wasn't for social distancing, I'd come pinch your cheek. But there are times in life where you see how quickly life goes from an Amara and a Clara to where Andrew is tonight. So for every teacher, I say to you, thank you. Thank you for investing in these children. And you are making a difference in the next generation. You say, well, this world is in a mess. I know, but this is a double negative at a high school graduation. Let me try this. There's never not been, so let's just say, the world has always been in a mess. And Christ is always the answer. And grace is always the factor. And we just simply figure out the best way possible. Who would have ever thought we'd have to do church with tape keeping us apart? Who ever thought we'd have to do church with masks? I was telling Pastor earlier before service, our brethren in California have it far worse than we do. Right. You know, they're not even allowed to meet inside. These are challenges. But God made you for this moment, Andrew. For this very moment. You say, well, my graduation was a ripoff. Well, I got to come, so. But it's more than that. This is the moment where you'll rise and do something. And Amara and Clara, you're going to do something great for God. I know you will. And you're in the best place of all, a place to learn about Jesus. And to grow up in a home where your mom and dad really believe that this is the best place for you. Thank you for valuing Christian education. Thank you for family that's supporting Andrew here. Do you all own the fact that you know him? Wow. You got 9 people who showed up. Did you pay them? But I want to say this seriously. Congratulations. You made it.
Amen.
A lot of people in another generation didn't come this far. They just quit. Maybe because of family situations or financial situations, but you made it this far. And it's not a sympathy graduation where they feel bad. It's like, get rid of you. You made an impression here.
Amen.
An impression that you'll go out and do the same thing wherever you are in the world. Many would say for you, Andrew, life begins tonight. Society said, you've made it, you arrived, you've succeeded. Now, with all those things before you, your life choices mean more now than they ever had before. For you, this is a mountaintop moment. A look behind you will reveal the journey from which you've come. You climbed a peak, perhaps a series of peaks to get here. And yet, I can tell you, because I'm not your age, I can tell you there are more peaks to climb. And your effort that got you here will be your momentum that gets you further. And the next step of what you do is so important. We live in a godless, post-Christian, secular world. And Christianity is influenced by secularism. What does that mean? Those are kind of fancier words, and I don't mean to use them, but the world has influenced Christianity to the point where people just say, take your best shot, make a name for yourself, and go to church. Christianity is more than that. It's not just a casual thing. It's not just one academic that you learned. It has got to be your way of life. Amara and Clara, when they have you learn verses at home and verses at school, it's because they want you to know the only thing that will fix the problems in life is the Bible. That's it. And so when you leave this place, Andrew, and you have the Word of God, and there's no more rules to follow here. Now, you probably have rules at the house, but there's no more rules to follow here. Who are you going to be? These girls will remain in this, I presume. The girls will continue in their schooling. They're not going to be kindergarten dropouts, right? They're still going to go. Okay. And they'll continue to learn. But what's the right thing to do from here? Because this isn't just about Andrew, although we see him at the end of his academic journey. But what is vital? Now, I don't know if you have a copy of the Word of God in front of you. Maybe you brought one. Don't feel bad if you didn't bring one. I'm going to take you to a book in the Old Testament, and the book is Micah. And he's a prophet, and I should have told you at the beginning, because he's one of those ones you have to look in the table of contents to find. But if you get to Revelation, turn left, you went too far. If you get to Matthew, turn back a few pages. Micah is where I want you to go. If you have your Bible, if you have your phone and you want to do the Bible on your phone, it'll be a lot easier to find it. M-I-C-A-H. I want you to go to the 6th chapter. Yes, a Christian school graduate. Do you want to share my Bible with me, Andrew? Okay, fine. Micah chapter 6, and the paragraph starts in verse 5. And we're talking about Israel. Who is Israel? Well, they're God's people. But they've been bad. Bottom line. They've rebelled against God. They've not done what God asked to do. So now Micah is a prophet. A prophet is someone who speaks for God. And it's recorded for us here in Micah chapter 6. Now, if you haven't found it by now, just fake it. It will be fine. Just open your Bible to some page and you'll look right, okay? Here we go. Micah chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? These are the words of Micah, and he is rhetorically dealing with Israel. And Israel is saying, well, what does God want? Like 10,000 rivers of oil that I could give him? Should I give him my kid? What does God really want from me? What is the next step that God wants from me? And we get to verse number 8, the verse from which I'll speak tonight. Micah 6, verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. Now, as Israel could say, could I offer 1,000 rams in sacrifice, 10,000s of rivers of anointing oil, giving up my kid? What kind of legacy could I leave? Micah says to them, here's what God wants from you. Three things. You know how many big points that makes? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Here they are. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Micah gives heaven's blueprint for life and living. No matter if you're going from kindergarten to first grade, or from high school to the next step that you're going to do, these are three life principles that will change society, that will bring a Christian worldview to wherever you go. And it doesn't matter at what juncture you are in your life, no matter what it is, these principles are what God expects. And they say, well, we want to give 10,000 rivers of anointing oil. We'll give a kid to satisfy God. And God said, no, this is what I want from you. I want you to do justly. And I want you to love mercy. And I want you to walk humbly with God. Here's three calls to remember. Number one, it's a call to live right. There's only one right way to live, here. If it's not here, leave it out. If it is here, follow it. And if the Word of God says don't do it, don't do it. That's what God wants. You say, well, I just want to follow my dreams. What we ought to do is want to follow God's Word. Well, I've got this idea I want to pursue, but not unless it meets God's will. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. This is what the Lord requires, to live right, to do justly. That means in every context, I do what's right. You say, well, what about like when I get a job and I make money? Do right with your money. What if I decide that there is some girl on this planet or in this universe that might like me? Let's just imagine. Do right. Do right in every relationship. Do right in every business transaction. Do right in every human relationship. Do right by God. Do right by your parents. Do right by your community. Do no evil. And that's what God requires of us. Number two, I want you to see what Micah says to them that God requires. Not these big fancy gifts and these magnanimous sacrifices, but just simple things God said. Second one, love mercy. What does it mean? It's, well, the first is a call to live right. The second is to live kindly or live with kindness. Anybody can be mean. Anybody can be cruel. Anybody can be selfish. Anyone can serve their own needs. God is looking for kindness from us. There is a mark that will be on your life forever, Andrew, and that is this. You graduated from Granite Christian Academy. That mark means that this school poured into you what you have as a mark on your heart. You'll never get away from that, which means you're a product of this church's ministry. You're a product of this Christian school. And because of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that means that you bear His image, you bear His name, and your job is to be kind to everyone. Is that easy? Every adult behind you is shaking their head no. It is not easy. I mean, for Christian school teachers to be kind. To moms and dads to be kind. Your siblings, that's your brothers and sisters, to be kind. Clara and Amara, Jesus wants us to be kind to each other. And I know you're twins. And that means that you're together a lot. And Jesus said we have to be kind to each other. And you see that guy in the blue beside you there? He's supposed to be kind to you. And you're supposed to be kind to him. Why? Because that's what Jesus wants. The third thing God wants, it's not just to live right and not just to be kind, but it's to live humbly. Notice what he said. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. A humble walk doesn't mean you're walking around trying to bring attention to yourself. We put the attention on Jesus. It's not saying walking around taking the selfie all the time saying, look at me, let me present my best self. Let me fix my hair. Oh, well, I can't. Let me make myself in the best light I can. But that's not what Christ calls us to do. It's to put Him in the best light possible. So my graduation message to you all is this. Live right. Live with kindness. Live with humility. Because a humble walk points to Christ. Kindness points to Christ. Doing right points to Christ. You say, well, you know, I'm here and Mr. O'Malley, I hear you tonight and that's a good moral code. But we realize that, you know, that's just your way of understanding what's right and wrong. Well, first of all, it's not my way of understanding what's right and wrong because my heart only knows evil. You say, well, you're a preacher and your heart only knows evil. Yeah, about as bad as yours is. So the only way I know good is by God's word. And the only way I know what's righteous is God's word. And so he showed me, oh man, what's good. To do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. You can live by a moral code of your own. You can try to be a good person, but that is not enough to go to heaven. You say, you can't say that. I didn't. He did. We cannot do enough good to get to heaven. You say, well, I've always heard that if I do enough good, that's enough to get me in. It's not. No one is good enough. Not even Pastor Davis. Not even the school teacher that stood up here before. We know Mr. Davies isn't. So how does someone get to heaven? It's not the accumulation of doing good deeds at all. It's the event where Christ came. He was sinless and he came and he took your sin upon him. And in exchange, he offers you his righteousness. You say, wow, you mean everything I've ever done wrong, he paid for by his death? Yes. He said, you might say, you don't know what I've done. That's okay. One, I don't want to know. Two, he already knows. And three, it's covered. So you say, wait a minute, I came here tonight to watch someone I know graduate. Number one, thank you for coming. You're a guest. You're honored. Thank you for investing in these young people's lives. But you'll never get to heaven just because you attended a Christian high school graduation. And you'll never get to heaven just because you walked inside this door. And you'll never get to heaven just by counting on doing good stuff. Because that's all I'm saying to our graduates. Do right. But no amount of doing right will ever get you to heaven. You know how I'm going to heaven? You say, well, you're a preacher. You're supposed to go. I'm going to heaven because when I was a kid, how old are you, Clara? How much? Six. Wow. Do you remember way, way back when you were four? Sort of, yeah. Do you remember Amara? No, yeah. We block out the scarred memories. I get it. When I was four is when I accepted Christ as my Savior. So, well, what kind of heathen were you? The same kind of heathen you are. On my way to hell and needed a Savior. And my parents cared enough to put me at a Christian camp. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. And from that point on, 50 something, I did graduate. Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, on those struggle bus, yeah. And so 52 years later, that same confidence I have in that decision in who Christ is how I'm going to heaven. Here's what I did. I said, God, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I can't do good. I need your righteousness, your goodness. And I accepted what he did for me. If you're here today because you came to support a graduate, the best information you could ever leave with is the fact that you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. The reason why they have a Christian school, it's not to hide out from society and to avoid life's problems. The reason why this church has a Christian school is to provide a quality Christian worldview of this society, because nothing else will help in this world than having a biblical worldview.
Right.
And the biblical worldview starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Andrew, let me speak directly to you as if I haven't already. Failures in life will occur. And failures can either be the experiences that make us wiser, kinder, and better. Or our failures can visit our memories and bring us regret and produce a paralyzing shame and overwhelm us with guilt. But failure is not final unless you get back up. Get back up and start again. Girls, I want you to grow up and love Jesus with all of your heart, because there's nothing more important than that. And friends, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, the one who paid the penalty for your sin, then today is your day to accept him. Talk to Pastor, talk to me, talk to Brother Davies after the service, and we will gladly show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. It's a wonderful thing that you're here, but it'd be a wonderful thing if you were in heaven when your life ends.